This classic episode of the Children's Bible Hour is from 1975.
Hi, everybody. It's time for another visit with all your friends from the Children's Bible Hour.
Boys and girls for Jesus, this our earnest prayer. Boys and girls for Jesus, home and school, at play and everywhere, we'll tell the world of life in Jesus. He is all our song. There is all you need in Jesus, won't you come along?
And now, here's Uncle Charlie.
Hi, Uncle Charlie.
Hi there, my friend, and welcome to another visit with all of us from the Children's Bible Hour in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Today, that word us will include our three nieces, the cheerful cousins, Steve with his cornet, Calvin, Linda, and Ann. And also, Aunt Bertha is on hand to help us with the story. Hi, Aunt B.
Well, hi to you, Uncle Charlie, and to all of our friends in Radioland. I guess we have some new listeners who may wonder who I am. Do you think so?
That's very possible.
Well, it is a long story, dating back to 1947, in fact. So maybe we could just say here that I was Aunt Bertha before you were Uncle Charlie.
Oh, yeah, but now wait a minute. You're still Aunt Bertha.
That's right, I am. But since 1972, I am not here every week as I used to be, and you take my place. So I'm always glad when you ask me to tell the story.
And we're always glad when you're able to be here, too. What's the name of the story today?
Oh, well, you want to know the name of the story again?
Sure. I think a lot of the fellows and girls would,
too. All right, I'll tell you the name of it. The name of it is What I Had for Sunday Dinner.
You mean you're going to tell us what you had for Sunday dinner?
No, I'm going to tell you what Jack had for Sunday dinner.
Well, what did he have?
You're just too impatient, Uncle Charlie. You wait until story time, and then you'll find out.
Well, wait we must, but we'll fill the time with music. Here come our cheerful cousins with a bright, bouncy song to keep everybody on their toes. I've found the happy side of life.
I found the happy side of life. I found the happy side of life. With Jesus as my Savior, I found the way, rolling along, singing a song, every single passing day. I found the happy side of life. I found the happy side of life. With Jesus as my Savior, I found the way. I found the happy side of, I found the happy side of, I found the happy side of life.
Well, while we're kind of happy, let me share a joke from the laugh box. You know, you've been keeping my laugh box pretty well filled, so I guess you must like this new feature. Tim and Dan sent this one in. Goes like this. Grandma asked Bob, "Will you play zoo with Jim and me?" "Oh, what do I have to do?" asked Grandma. Bob replied, "Oh, just give us peanuts and candy." Well, we can't give you peanuts and candy, but we can fill your day with some more music. Here's 10-year-old Calvin to ask a question. Who's gonna walk that road with me?
Who's gonna walk that road with me on my journey home? Who's gonna walk that road with me on my journey home? Oh, it's a straight and narrow way, lonely and hard at times, but say, soon it will lead to heaven's day, bright eternal day. Who's gonna walk that road with me on my journey? gonna come and pray with me on my journey home? Who's gonna come and pray with me on my journey home? Pray till the answer is made plain. Pray with the faith that will not wane. Pray till the blessings fall like rain, like refreshing rain. Who's gonna come and pray with me on my journey home? On my journey home.
I am glad that Jesus is walking life's road with me, for I don't know what I'd do without him. As 12-year-old Steve puts it in his song, he's everything to me. When we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, not only do we have a friend who will walk life's road with us, but we have one who is preparing a home for us in heaven. 7-year-old Anne tells us about it in her song, I've a Home Beyond the River. Have you remembered to send for Keys for Kids? If you haven't, I hope you'll get your request in the mail right away. Be sure to write and join the thousands of others who are using Keys for Kids. Let me share just a little bit of an excerpt from a letter that came not long ago. Thank you so much for giving yourselves to this ministry. Our children and ourselves have been so blessed by Keys for Kids. Our 7-year-old said a while ago, I used to hate evotions, but since we got Keys for Kids, I love evotions. Well, he and our other 3 have learned some very practical lessons. We all appreciate our time in the Word with the aid of Keys for Kids. And as God so often has it happen, many times the devotion has been square on an issue we are dealing with at the time. And you know something, we get that kind of report over and over again. And of course, every time we prepare a Keys for Kids devotion, we pray that it'll meet the need of some family or some boy or girl who's reading it. So be sure to write and ask for Keys for Kids. It is free for the asking. Help with printing and postage, oh sure, it's much appreciated. That is a help, but it's not necessary. I want you to have it. Here's where to write.
Uncle Charlie, Box 1, Grand Rapids, Michigan. That's Uncle Charlie, Box 1, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49501.
Be sure to give me your full name, your full address, and your zip code. You know, now every week we get letters we can't answer because you don't tell us all that we need to know. Now back to our music makers with some Go Along with the Story songs. First, we hear from our 3 nieces with the good news that God loves you.
The sweetest story ever told, God loves you. The brightest prospect to behold, God loves you. When your way is dark as night, He will be your guiding light. By His hand He'll hold you tight, God loves you. When discouraged and depressed, God loves you. And remember in the test, God loves you. When it seems all hope is gone, and you feel so all alone, look above, behold the dawn, God loves you. Though you now are far away, God loves you. Don't go on another day, God loves you. Though rebellious you have been, put away the life of sin, He'll forgive and take you in, God loves you. He'll forgive and take you. God loves you.
And now all of our cousins sing their song of testimony, He Lifted Me Out.
I was out on the Broadway of sin and despair, crushed neath my burden of sorrow and care. My constant companions were trouble. Up to a heavenly place.
since Aunt Bea is here to help with the story today, cousins, what do you have to say?
Tell me a story, tell me a story, tell me a story, Aunt Bea. Aunt Bea, tell me a story, tell me a story, Aunt Bea.
Our story today, written especially for the Children's Bible Hour by Harry C. Trover, is entitled, What I Had for Sunday Dinner.
Some kids have the idea that they can do bad things and get by with it, but our school teacher, Miss Hobbs, really convinced me that there's no such thing as a perfect crime. One way or another, every sinner is going to get caught. Every crime will be paid for. I know because I got caught. Or rather, my dad did. Well, wait a minute. Let's start from the beginning. One day in school, Miss Hobbs said,
Boys and girls, I have just received a report from the chief of the Federal Bureau of Investigation saying that crime in the United States is steadily on the increase, even in small communities such as ours. I hope that none of the boys and girls in this school will ever find themselves on the wrong side of the law. If children could only learn early in life that you cannot break the law without paying for it sooner or later, then we would have fewer lawbreakers.
Then I spoke up and said, Miss Hobbs?
Yes, Jack, do you have something to say?
Do you think there is such a thing as a perfect crime?
Definitely not. Every criminal makes some mistake. But even if the lawbreaker does manage to cover up his crime from the eyes of men, God sees him. And someday before God, he will be exposed and made to pay for his sins. So, in the final sense, there is no such thing as a perfect crime.
Now, our family never went to church. My father said he did not believe in God. He wouldn't even let us kids go to church. My father never worked much, and so we were very poor. Oftentimes, we didn't even get enough to eat. My dad didn't like Miss Hobbs. He said she was a holier-than-thou person because she told him he ought to go to work to support his family. Well, anyway, he just laughed when I came home from school that Friday night and told him what Miss Hobbs said about no such thing as a perfect crime. My father said,
You know, somebody ought to fix her good. She thinks she knows all the answers. I've read lots of detective magazines, and I know that only the dumb ones get caught. The smart ones get away with it. You see, Jack, my boy, timing is everything. There's the right time to do a job and the wrong time. You gotta know just when to move in, get what you're after, and clear out. Now, the next thing is to work alone. You can't trust anyone, not even your closest friend. Many a clever fella never got caught until he trusted somebody. And the best thing is to work alone. She doesn't know everything, that Miss Hobbs, and one of these days, she's gonna find it out.
Monday morning, when I went back to school, everything seemed just like usual. Miss Hobbs read the Bible and had prayer, like she does every morning. And then we started our English lesson. Miss Hobbs said,
Now, boys and girls, this morning we're going to do something different. I want each of you to write an essay on this subject, What I Had for Sunday Dinner. The first part of our class period will be spent in writing the essay, and the last half will be spent in reading and discussing them. All right, you may go to work.
After we had finished writing our essays, Miss Hobbs called on several students to read theirs. I was quite surprised when she called on me, because I haven't been one of the best students in the class.
And now we'll ask Jack to read his essay.
My essay is called, What I Had for Sunday Dinner. Saturday night, my father brought home 3 live Plymouth Rock hens. Sunday morning, he called me out of bed to help him. I had to hold their feet and wings while he cut off their heads.
Class, no laughing, please. Jack is giving us a very interesting account of what he had for Sunday dinner, and he's doing very well. Go on, Jack.
After we cleaned them, I helped my father burn all the feathers. Then my mother fried the chickens, and we ate every piece for dinner. I had 6 pieces of chicken. We had mashed potatoes, gravy, and peas. For dessert, we had a piece of cake. That's all I wrote, Miss Hobbs.
Well, thank you, Jack. You are the only one so far who had chicken for Sunday dinner. Did anyone else in the class have chicken for Sunday dinner? Raise hands. No one but you, Jack. Well, what do you think of Jack's essay, class?
I thought it was interesting.
It was too short.
Yes, it was rather brief, but maybe there wasn't much more Jack had to tell. Tell me, Jack, does your father raise chickens?
No, ma'am, he doesn't.
You might have told us where he got the chickens then.
He didn't say.
All right, that will be all, Jack. Who else would like to read his essay? Oh, all right, Linda, you may be next.
That day after school, Miss Hobbs asked me to stay. She said she wanted to stop and see my father and that I could ride home with her in her car. My dad was sitting on the front steps, chewing on a long weed, when Miss Hobbs and I, walked up the path. Dad never moved. He just kind of glared squinty-like at both of us. I didn't know what to say or do, so Miss Hobbs took the lead.
Mr. Jethro, Saturday night, 3 of my Plymouth Rock hens were stolen from my chicken coop after I'd gone to bed.
Well, don't go to telling me your troubles.
I know that you stole those 3 hens, Mr. Jethro.
Me? Well, you've got a nerve coming around here accusing an honest man of chicken stealing. Now, accusing's one thing, lady. Proving's another.
I've got proof. Written proof.
Huh? Now, what are you talking about?
When I found it, 3 of my hens had been stolen Saturday night. I hit on a plan for finding out who stole them. Well, since every child in the community for miles around attends my school, this morning I asked every child in class to write an essay on the subject, What I Had for Sunday Dinner. Jack was the only child in the class who had had chicken for Sunday dinner. Fat Plymouth Rock hens, he said. He told us he helped you kill and clean them, and also helped you burn all the feathers.
Who wrote all that stuff down?
Jack did, in his own handwriting. I intend to show it to the sheriff. But I thought I'd let you know first that even though you thought you had your crime perfectly timed, and even though you had carefully covered up your tracks, still you were not smart enough to keep from getting caught.
No, just a minute. How do you know I didn't buy them hens?
Oh, so you admit you had 3 hens?
Well, I could have bought them, couldn't I?
All right, where did you buy them?
Well, Jack, I'm going to take a strap to you, getting your father in a peck of trouble over your writing.
But, Dad, I didn't know you stole those hens.
It's not Jack's fault, Mr. Jethro. You're the guilty one.
What you aiming to do about it?
Well, I want you to promise that Jack will be in Sunday school and church from now on, and I want you to bring him.
Go to church? Not me. I'd rather go
to jail.
Well.
Take your pick, Mr. Jethro. You either go to church or you go to jail.
How long do I have to take Jack to church before you get off my neck?
Indefinitely. I'll let you know. You see, I'm going to keep that little essay your son wrote. That's all the proof I need to put you in the hands of the sheriff. And if you miss church even one Sunday, The sheriff gets this essay by your son Jack entitled, What I Had for Sunday Dinner.
It wasn't long after I started going to Sunday school that I learned I was a sinner, that Jesus died to save me from my sins, and that if I trusted him as my Savior, I could go to heaven. I'm a Christian now. Miss Hobbs has been swell. She's never told anybody that my dad stole those chickens. One Sunday morning after church, Miss Hobbs gave my dad an envelope. Inside it was my essay, What I Had for Sunday Dinner. Miss Hobbs no longer had proof that my dad had stolen her chickens. I wondered if Dad would ever go back to church again, if he'd let me go back. But the next Sunday morning, my dad came into my room real early. He shook me and said,
Jack, you awake, son?
Almost. What time is it?
Well, it's time to get up. You know, we don't want to be late for Sunday school, do we?
Tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Just know your doubting's give o'er.
If you are tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart and life. He's standing at your heart's door wanting to come in. But remember, the doorknob is on the inside. He won't force his way into your life. He does want you to let him in, though. Time's up for today's visit.
Before I go, a quick reminder that we'd love to put you on the mailing list to get Keys for Kids every other month. All you have to do is just write and ask for it. It's free for the asking.
Write to Uncle Charlie, Box 1, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Join us again next week, same time and station. These visits are brought to you by the Children's Bible Hour, a faith missionary ministry. Bye now.